This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm guessing, Paul, and I would say likewise about you and me, big October baseball guy. Paul's Yankees in the tournament again this year. Although, it's kind of it's weird for those teams that get the byes, right? Like, they have their seasons wrap on Sunday, not even necessarily with meaningful games, and then they open on Friday, which is just except for the All-Star break. Like, you just never have that. The rhythm of the baseball season, you know, it's almost every day. And so, I don't know, Paul, like, you're probably not too worried about this, but the top four teams in the postseason all have to wait, like, 4 or 5 days to start.
Yeah, I'm not quite into baseball yet today because my yard desperately needed me.
All right.
I've been out there, didn't quite finish, but this is a nice break. I can go out and finish when we're done, and which is fine. And so, yeah, I haven't really gotten to it. Although I tried to make Howard Simon feel better earlier, and I think I succeeded. I told him the World Series would be the Mets against the Tigers. I tweeted that to him. So he was all excited about that.
Oh, yeah, because you're always right. Yeah.
We know how you love to make predictions.
For all your your unwillingness to make predictions, you're sending Howard predictions now. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, Mets Tigers.
Right.
I told him to get the car gassed up because we're going for the World Series. We're driving there for the Mets Tigers. So who knows? Maybe I'll wind up there.
Your yard, by the way, needed you for what? Mowing?
Lawn cutting, edging.
Yeah. Good for you.
Hedge cutting. There are things that I really have not been too
good
diligent with lately, so I needed to get diligent.
Good job. Well, we're happy that you're taking a break from that. The Sabres announced their roster moves today. I mean, we know that, you know, the team and a few extras are in Europe here for the start of the regular season and have been there for almost a week now, I guess. So some of these were to be expected, but they've got 27. The roster right now is at 27, and that means a few scratches for the opener on Friday. What are your takeaways from the moves, if any of them are interesting to you? And, like, what do you think they'll do with, you know, the lineup on Friday?
Yeah, not at all surprising, any of them, because they're 27 with them. So those are the top 27 right there. So we already knew who the top 27 were. So everything that we saw today was totally expected. And the thing is, too, which I don't think is fair to the rest of the league, quite honestly, I don't mind them having 27 there, but it's not fair that the Sabres and Devils get to choose from a roster of 27 for two games and the rest of the teams don't, because rosters don't have to be in until next Monday, and the Sabres and Devils will already have played two games.
Right.
So they can keep the 27 as is. And the thing is, it's easily, you do the rosters before those two games are played. On paper, you send four guys down to Rochester, but they're still there with you. So if somebody gets hurt on Friday, you can call them up, you know, because they're there with you.
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't think it's quite right that two teams.
Well, sure.
This is the NHL. They get to do, you know, whatever they
want. You're carrying extra guys, and it's a time of the year where teams are pushing guys through waivers that have to go through waivers to get to the minors. And, you know, teams might like to claim this guy or that guy or whatever, and not having to do that with these extra four guys. There's maybe some benefit to that, from the Sabres. You know, if, for example, they get to a point. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Paul, is what do you think they plan to do with the goaltending, right? Levi doesn't have to go through waivers if they want to send him to Rochester, but if they want him to be here to pair with Luukkonen, Reimer, unless you want to carry three again, and we've done that dance two seasons in a row, for crying out loud, Reimer has to go through waivers, but he's not going yet. And not that I'm, you know, the teams are lining up going, oh, I got to get my hands on James Reimer. But, you know, injuries, whatever, you could have a team out there that feels like they could use another veteran, but he doesn't have to go yet, and that's a little bit of a break.
Well, the one thing they have seen is Sandstrom cannot play. I don't even know if Sandstrom can play in the AHL.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be quite honest with you. I don't understand the signing. He wasn't any good in the NHL, the AHL, and what was it, 4, 5, 6 years in Philadelphia, and mostly in the minors, and they picked him up. And if you're keeping three goalies, he's your starter in the AHL, and you're done. That's not going to work. So because Ratzlav goes back to junior, mm-hmm. You know, so it's not like he's around. He had a pretty good camp for them, so that was nice for him. But, and the thing is, they've told us who the two goalies are without telling us. Reimer has not played at all in the preseason. Nothing. So if he was going to be the backup, or if they had any thoughts of him being the backup, mm-hmm. He would have played. And he has not played at all.
So would you guess that said that their hope would be that when this is all over in Europe, they'll be able to get him to Rochester and that's where he's going to be and he's, you know, break glass in case of emergency up here?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you're right. That three-goalie thing is just it's no good for practice. It's no good for anything. And I know Reimer hasn't been in the minors since 2010-2011 season, but I'm sure he was well aware of the situation here mm-hmm. when he signed. He's not blind. He follows the league. He knows the Sabres are pushing two young goalies. So I think I would guess he knew the score before he got here. So, I just don't think three goalies works. And I just think if you want your minor league team to have any chance of doing anything without being deflated all the time, you got to get Reimer down there. He's got to be your goalie down there. So, and the thing is, he'll have time to get going once they would send him down. Once they get back and send him down, he would have time to, you know, get ready for the season down there.
So, as you're saying, because of the Sabres being in Europe, like the climax here isn't these roster moves. It's who doesn't play in Friday's game, right? Like Kulik would be the guy, just like last year, actually. He would be the guy we might be talking about the most often, whether he makes it. Well, we're not going to exactly know, but he's right there. I mean,
he hasn't been playing the exhibition either, so he's not playing. Clegg's not playing. Reimer's not playing. Rusick's not playing. The question is Krebs your one man out? I mean, because you got two extra D, so Bryson and Gilbert probably aren't playing. I'm guessing,
mm-hmm.
But at least they played in the preseason. So, you know, if for whatever reason they don't want Clifton to play and they want to throw one of those guys in, they could do that. But the question is, they got 13 forwards, and they were able to dress 13 forwards for the preseason game because those are European rules. You actually could address Kulik if they wanted to. They could address one more guy.
Yeah,
because Germany did, but they just elected to dress the extra forward. And Krebs has been the extra forward the whole time. So if we fast forward to the first game, that's giving me an educated guess that he is the scratch along with the two defensemen on Friday.
Right, because what I noticed, I mean, the game was happening while we were on the air, so it's not like I got to sit with it and you know, make notes on a big yellow legal pad like I'm Howard Simon or something. But I noticed Krebs a couple of times with Peterka and Thompson, I think, playing a wing. In the game against Red Bull on Friday, so like that tells me like he doesn't have a line really, right? I mean, you know, McLeod is your third line center, Lafferty, I think with Malenstein and Albe Kubel is going to be your fourth line. So I don't really know where I'm putting Krebs.
Yeah, the Lafferty line has come through just as advertised. I don't think they're touching that. And yeah, what are you going to do, sit McLeod after you traded one of your best prospects for him? I mean, I don't think you're going to sit him in the first game. And Lindy Ruff talked about Krebs. Lindy Ruff has been pretty honest in evaluating players, and he likes his work ethic. He likes the way, you know, everything, except he says at times he gets on the wrong side of the puck. He goes, and that's what they got to work on with him. So there were things in his game that he wanted to work on. And practice, for the most part, has been the same way, too. It's like he fills in a line somewhere. You know, the lines go through, and then he goes through, you know, as an extra with somebody else, with one of the lines on the second time through. So it just, unless there's an injury that we don't know about, it just would surprise me with the way he's been used in practice and preseason games if he were in the lineup on Friday.
So if folks aren't, like, haven't been aggressively following along here, it's been a little tough with the, you know, the sort of the Rochester Sabres playing these games here in North America. The real NHL team is over here in Europe. But the lines, the way they look through these preseason games, Paul, Paterka, Thompson, Tuck, no surprise, Cousins with Quinn and Benson. Is it McLeod with Zucker and Greenway then, right?
Yes.
I feel like this is as solid as an idea as we've had of what our lineup is going to be in a while. I feel like there's been like more uncertainty than this at this time of the preseason in other years, but that's pretty locked in.
It's pretty locked in, and without making that extra trade for a top six guy, that's basically, when I sat down in May, those are the lines I wrote,
right.
You know. Well, I don't know if McLeod was here. Once McLeod was here, those were the lines that I wrote down. I mean, to me, it was pretty easy. I'm no genius or anything. It just, that's the way it seemed to fit. It's like, oh, if you're not going to go out and get a top six forward, it's between Zucker, Benson, and Greenway. My mind, all right, I'd give Benson first shot. 18-year-old, double figures in goals. Maybe, and he's always been a goal scorer. I asked Lindy Ruff about that. You know, guys that have scored goals at every level, yeah, sure, when they're 18 years old and come in, maybe they're not going to score 20, 25 goals or whatever that might be. But he said in his experience, yes, they do tend to start scoring in the NHL also as they get a little experience under their belt. So what happens in his second year after you get double-figure goals in the first year? Can he approach 20? Can he start scoring goals in the NHL like he has in other leagues? So that's why it just made sense to me that now, you know, Zucker had a different role in Arizona after, you know, scoring goals with Pittsburgh the year before. Now, that's a lineup that has Malkin and Crosby and the rest of it. They basically put him in a leadership defensive role. Arizona did. So he totally had to switch his thinking from what he's always done. And now I was just reading an article, you know, he talked over in Prague and said that, you know, he wants to get back to that, you know, he feels, you know, he can be a useful top six guy, a guy that can get over 20 goals because, you know, he's not being asked to do that same role anymore, you know, that he was asked to do in Arizona when his goals went down. And if you look at his numbers, he did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his analytic numbers and those types of things were good. So he actually changed his role and did a good job of it, but he feels he can be more useful.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. The Sabres open Friday at 1, pregame at noon here on WGR. We will have the game. And their second game, by the way, is Saturday morning at 10 our time. That's the trip. And then the home opener a week from Thursday against LA. And that game is at 6 a.m.
I think that'll be our earliest pregame I've done, a 9 a.m. pregame.
9 a.m. No, I think it's a 7 o'clocker, that Kings game, just in case anybody thought I was serious. Paul, the overall takeaway from you on the Lindy Ruff experience so far, being back, has he been different to talk to, you know, as you've observed him running practices? Again, they've been away here for a bit, but you saw plenty of their work when he was here. What are some of your observations?
I love the way both Sabre teams in this preseason worked. That's why the Amerks were in every game. Even the game they lost 6-3, they had a 2-0 lead at the end of two periods, they had a 2-1 lead. That was an even hockey game. It wasn't like they were getting outshot 45-10 and had a goaltender standing on his head. Yeah, their goaltender Ratzlaff played well, but I think he only faced 20 shots. And, you know, they had the lead and deserved the lead, and then they put a goaltender in Sandstrom who couldn't make a save to save his life. And they wound up losing because of that. So they, with the hard work they put in, you know, then that was against an NHL lineup. Columbus dressed their NHL team with maybe two exceptions. So, you know, that was against an NHL team that they did that. And it's just because they work and they work and they work. And the other day, the Hellenius line hit a against Detroit, had a horrendous start. Detroit had a breakaway 15 seconds into the game, and a few seconds later had 2-on-1, got a layup and a goal. And the Hellenius line was out there with Rozan and Nuchev. Just a horrible shift. But it's to me, it's what do you do after that shift? And they got back totally. The you know, young players, they didn't brood about it. They went out, started working. Near the end of the period, they got in on the forecheck, really got in hard, and then Nuchev got in hard on one of the defensemen, basically stripped him of the puck, walked in, and scored. So that impressed me right there. And then who scores the overtime goal at the end? Tolenius. So that's what impresses me about they're buying into what Lindy Ruff is selling. Now, you ask me how he sounds. If I'm being quite honest with you, I have thought to myself, it's like he looks exhausted. He doesn't look or sound good to me, and that's just my impression. I have no, I'm not saying he's sick or anything else, but I have to say I am a little worried about him because he just isn't what I used to see with Lindy Ruff. He, you know, he just seems exhausted every time he goes to the podium, and you know, it just seems like everything's a bit of an effort for him. So I hope he's okay. But he certainly is getting his point to his players, that's for sure.
It seems to me, Paul, like, you know, just buzzing through the box scores as these games are unfolding, these preseason games, they did a pretty decent job, I think, you'll correct me here if I'm wrong or even way off, of suppressing shots, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they did not give up a lot, it seems.
No, I mean, last night they outshot Detroit 44-21. You know, Sandstrom played that one game. He faced 16 shots the game he won. Made 14 saves. And so that's the thing. They're buying into the defensive system from top to bottom. Now, the regular Sabres, they hardly played any. They played two AHL teams and a team that might be as good or worse than an East Coast League team.
Yeah.
Now, but that's not their fault.
Right.
They don't make the schedule. It's not like they sit there and draw straws out in the parking lot afterwards and who they're going to play, or they draft teams to who they're going to play. That's the schedule. But they did what they were supposed to do. In all three cases, they blew them off the ice because they went out there and worked hard. When they did have a little bit of a lull, they figured it out quickly, and it didn't turn into, well, we're starting the third period, we're down 5-0, and, well, we just scored two goals in the first 5 minutes, 5-2. I think maybe we can get all the way back. How many times did we see that movie in the past X amount of years? You know, so it's just, you know, but, you know, they've had a couple of lulls in preseason, but
sure,
they figured it out quickly.
Seeing as how we were thorough about the forward lines, let's just do the same with the defense. You already mentioned you expect Bryson and Gilbert and Clegg to be like the guys on the outside looking in. What do the pairs look like, and did Lindy get his left-right thing that he seemed to be looking for?
Yeah, he did. And that's kind of why I didn't have Samuelson in my top four. I think Samuelson is a top four defenseman, but if you do lefty-righty, you can do it on two of the three pairs. What I didn't know is who was going to be with Dahlin. Was it going to be Power or was it going to be Byram? Byram on the right side, I don't care what they tell you, he does not want to play the right side, and I've watched him do it. He does not do it well, and he knows that, and that's why he doesn't want to play the right side. I know it's been said by other coaches and other, maybe the GM, that he doesn't mind playing the right. Yeah, he does. He doesn't want to play over there. Power, I think, does a pretty nice job over there. I don't mind Rasmus Dahlin over there, too, and the numbers back both of them up. They don't back up Byram playing over there. So I didn't know exactly how that was going to work. And then Byram wound up with Power. I've liked it. I think it looked really good. Power seems to have really worked on his game. Yeah, I thought he came on the second half of last year and played pretty well. And I think he's even better from what I've seen in the preseason and practices this year so far. So now that those two are together, Joakim Harju, I think, had his best season last year. He's paired with Dahlin. They've played together many times before. But it gives you that left-right. You might say, well, wouldn't Samuelson be better there? Well, yeah, maybe. But now you got either Joakim Harju or Clifton playing the left side, and I don't want either one of them playing the left side as a right-handed shot. I know Clifton can't do it very well. They tried it. Didn't work. So I would rather maybe go this way And maybe that takes a little bit of the heat off Samuelson, where he doesn't get himself into bad spots where he gets himself injured. He's not maybe out there quite as much. And maybe that will help him stay a little bit healthier and help them a little bit more.
Well, Paul, the big question is, you know, the playoffs. And we're just getting started here, but it kind of makes it easy for what your goal is this year. There's nothing complicated about it. Getting in is it. You know, the rough move is meant to take them that final stride into the playoffs and anything else. You know, if you win there, great. But to end this seemingly interminable streak of years without making the playoffs at all, like, that's the only thing on the table.
Yeah, and I think two things. First of all, Luukkonen needs to play like he did last year. He's only done it for 1 year in the NHL. I think he can. I'm not expecting him to fall off, but I also wasn't expecting the whole team to fall off last year either. And all but maybe three or four of them did. So you just never know. But if you get Luukkonen playing like he did last year and you get this team to continue night in and night out to give the type of efforts that we've seen during the preseason, I think they make it. Because those efforts mean, I think Tage Thompson is back being a 40 to 45 goal scorer. I think he's more of a 45 goal scorer than he is a 30 goal scorer. So I think you could get him back going again and back up there. And I think if you keep Quinn healthy, I think you get him around 30. Who knows where Peterka can go? 28 last year. Can he do better? I think he probably can, because Lindy Ruff has some ideas how to make him a better player. So, you know, if they continue to play in the defensive zone like they are and put forth the effort that they've put forth, so we're not sitting there listening to multiple games, well, we got outcompeted. Yeah. To me, that's an internal thing. If you get outcompeted, that's on the player. That's not on the coach. That's on the player. And this coach, if you get outcompeted, I think you're going to be sitting up in the stands. So if those two things happen for the Sabres, I think if they aren't in the playoffs, I think we're going to be talking about maybe the last day of the year, them either, you know, getting in or not getting in. But I think if they do those two things, I think they make it.
Back to work, Paul. Do you have special sneakers for when you cut the grass and work outside, you know?
Yes, I do.
Old sneakers?
Sneakers probably I used to wear, like, I don't know how long. I mean, they're falling apart, but they're my grass-cutting sneakers.
Grass
they used
shoes.
To be white, now they're green.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do wear special nice. Equipment to go out and be in the yard.
Makes a lot of sense, I think.
All right, protect your eyes, Paul.
All I do, because I wear glasses all the time.
All right, good. You know, you get that weed whacker going, you never know what could come flying up there.
A
you
pebble. Get,
yeah, right, yeah.
Something like that.
I wear old motorcycle goggles all the time when I'm out there using that stuff, and I get hit every now and then. I think, like, good thing I got the glasses on.
Good to be safe, Paul.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Public service announcement. Paul, thanks a lot for this. Left. I'm sure we'll be gearing up to talk to you a lot more often as hockey season is upon us. Paul's reports here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Ian Rappaport says Devontae Adams has told the Raiders he'd like to be traded. So we kind of thought that. We've been talking about him already today, and this isn't, I don't, this counts as official, but it's a step in that direction. Ben Solak tweets, Bills, in my opinion. Whether that's just the fit in his mind or maybe some inside information, couldn't tell you. I think we should be talking about this. 803-0550 if you want to do that with us. Ross Tucker, Ross went to Vegas for Browns Raiders last week, and at the end of our conversation last week, what's this thing about the coach calling out players for business decisions? I'm like, Devontae Adams, Ross, go and find out and come back, report back next week. So we'll have Ross today in about 40 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I try to watch to see if I see any interactions on the sideline or anything. Not that I see a guy walking right past another guy. I can't imagine that now. I remember those days because I had those days, and it's because I didn't trust the guy and I didn't like the guy. I didn't think he knew what he was doing. And if you read my body language back in those days with those teams that I was on, you could tell that I was pissed off. And when I see Aaron Rodgers on the sideline and I see him after the game in the post-game press conference, there is a major issue there, and Volk will deny it. I guarantee see it, but there is an issue there because you have this 40-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback-to-be dealing with a coach that I think he doesn't respect.
Boomer Esiason, the Jets have their issues. The Bills have a new issue. It's being reported that Von Miller is being suspended 4 games without pay for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. This has been announced. Tom Pelissero is whose tweet I'm reading. So Miller will be out until week 9 now. That's the Dolphins. He'll miss the next 4 games. Not playing a lot, but he was making a difference. And now the Bills will be without Von Miller for 4 games. I don't know what exactly the infraction is, but something within the personal conduct policy here.
Yeah, sometimes there are things like, what was the timing of, was it during the season last year that he had the...
Yeah, I think so.
The situation with his partner. Sometimes the league takes a long time to sort. That's why, for instance, Rashee Rice, right, was thought to maybe be getting suspended at the beginning of this year, but it didn't go that way, and the league, it was thought, might wait until they have all the information or whatever, and it, like, he could still be punished next year, is something that I read as this season was ramping up and he wasn't getting suspended. So maybe that's what happened here with Miller. That's just a guess, and there could be something else that we don't know about that has happened in the interim here between that incident and now that could be causing this, but my best guess would be the traces back to that thing, but I don't know that. But 4 games, yeah, he has been. He hit a very light snap count on Sunday, but the game was pretty sideways. Prior to that, you know, and, you know, these other games have gotten sideways. He helped get them sideways. He was Miami. Like, he made, I think, the sack he had in the Miami game was on a fourth down that helped the Bills, you know, push that thing to just a blowout status.
One sack in each of the first 3 games.
Yeah.
Well, not great. Davante Adams requesting a trade being reported. So, earlier we talked about him, and I just want to put this back out there. Could the Bills trade for Davante Adams? There's always cap considerations, and I'm taking the, it suits me, it behooves me to do this, I'm taking the attitude that that will work itself out. He'll be traded to some team, he's expensive, even the Bills who have their limitations relative to other teams, I'm going to look at this as if they could be able to do it, okay? So you can do that differently if you want. I'm taking it as it's possible. The reason earlier I said that they can't, though, or wouldn't, is because of how this entire year has been a sea change in terms of wide receiver and everybody eats and all of this, and you've had a pretty good start here. And are we going to go right back to Alpha after all the press conferences and all the roster changes seemingly meant to move away from that? Most notably, of course, the trade of Stephon Diggs to the Texans. I can't see the Bills doing that, but I bring this up because I'm not sure that has to matter. All the talking, things change.
It's pro sports, right? I mean, I'm waiting to say exactly that. I know what you mean about, like, teams can always find, some team will find a way. I think he'll get traded. I don't know how cooperative the Raiders will want to be about doing something with the contract, or even if they can at this date now that the season is underway. Because I think what the Browns did with Amari Cooper happened ahead of the season. I think once you get to the cutdown date, vested veterans, like, you're sort of you're trapped in there. So I don't know, man. $25 million. I mean, the Bills don't have the market cornered on not having $25 million. I'll bet there's very few teams, if any, that have that much literal cap room right now. So somebody will finagle and they'll find a way. I don't predict it's the Bills for the reasons that you're saying, but I also am respecting the cap situation.
Okay.
Again, but I know why you're saying, because it does happen. where you think, oh, how did they do that? But they did it. The point about how they have sounded, yeah, could just be, well, Davante Adams wasn't available when we were putting our team together, and he is now. And so, you know, thanks for coming and listening to all of our news conferences where we talked about everybody eats. I don't know who holds that against them other than the dudes on the team, and that could matter a lot, right? I don't know, how would Josh Allen feel about it? Like, he's out here trumpeting this idea that he loves it like this, and you know, to the extent even that he made the point and got pushed on it because he said no one cares about stats, and everyone inferred that he, or thought that he was inferring that that meant, you know, Diggs was selfish or whatever. But all that said, yeah, the team could just do it because this is a great player and we're trying to win the Super Bowl and he's available now and we like the price and whatever. I don't predict they get there because I think more than just it's talk to get you through the offseason and build everybody up, I think they believe what they're saying. I think they did this with intent, with a purpose, and to turn your back on it after a 3-1 start, just I don't think that would really fly. To me, it would look almost panicky at this point. Now,
yes,
if, you know, we're going to be talking about Adams getting traded, hopefully not for as long as we talked about the Bills potentially signing Odell Beckham Jr. or DeAndre Hopkins, because that went on for months and that boat never came into port.
Listen, I think of those days very proudly.
Okay. I'm mostly annoyed about him because I felt like a chump for like sitting here going, oh, sure, Von Miller said they're going to get Odell Beckham Jr., so it's probably going to happen. Like, what, did I just fall off a truck? I feel like an idiot.
A turnip truck?
I thank you for filling
it
out.
Is that what it is?
Sure, I think.
Something about turnips?
Yes. I cannot see them biting off a player at his age. He's 32 now. That cap number now. The cap number the next 2 years is $44 million. Yes, you can massage that and work with it, but it just does not line up. I don't know. I could listen to you think the Bills are this player away from winning the AFC. I just, at his age, with that financial commitment there, it's just tough. I Beckham, I like that idea. Hopkins, those felt like reclamation projects and prove it type contracts that they were likely to get from teams. This is not that. This is someone who has crossed the finish line numerous times of getting the big contract and is currently dead smack in the middle of a massive one. I just can't see them doing it with a player at his age right now. I don't love the idea myself.
Here it is. Like, that's what was interesting to me about thinking this through earlier is, no. Everything you've just said, everything I said before that, which is largely making a lot of the same points. Just, this was an intentional, seemingly intentional effort by the Bills to redirect, you know, things about their offense. And so how, they're not even, like I said, you use the word panic. They're not a team in a position with that particular problem right now. Like, maybe the Chiefs are. Maybe the Jets are. Like, they're not getting anywhere. The Chiefs lost Rashee Rice. Although that's not yet been confirmed that it's torn, his injury. Still, like, other teams maybe are more... The Bills are 3-1. Like, really doesn't... It's not going so badly, to put it one way. But all these points, and then, okay, Mike, should they, though? And I can't just... I just don't want to say no. Because, really... what they were, but I've been making the point all summer that it was better the other way. You know, like, we're all sort of, we were done with Diggs, and it maybe feels good that he's gone. And, okay, well, it's go Bills. So here's why this will work instead. For me, it was always good luck with that, you know? And so here might be an opportunity to really, like, have a dominant player at a position of need. It's been, you know, we've been round and round on that for years, even, really. And that's why I just don't want, you know, like, talk to me. Because it would just be really strange if the Bills dumped all of that in their present state. But that isn't the same for me as seeing as saying that they shouldn't. Because I would like their team more if Devontae Adams were their ex receiver rather than Mac Hollins. No offense. I think I'm a better team if I'm trading a draft pick.
Boy, you put it that way.
I mean, we're trying to win a championship, right? So they might look bad, and I don't know if that would matter to them, to Brandon Bean, for all the energy that's been spent on this. But, you know, it's kind of a good player that you could really use. Super Bowl window, et cetera. The Bills have company, right? The Chiefs.
The Jets.
The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and won anyway. It would be out of character for them. Rare is this trade anyway. But, like, Kansas City has gotten by, to say the least, without the move, like we talked about this with Diggs, the complimentary move to that one. They really haven't made it, but they've been fine. So do they trade for a big fish? Like, wouldn't the Chiefs maybe think they don't need to do that? Maybe they're at a breaking point, though, where that's different. The Jets, the Rodgers connection, obviously. And, I mean, Garrett Wilson is a great talent, if not a great player, but not getting anywhere yet with him this year. I think he was having a better year last year.
Yes, he was. Every year of his career has been better than this year's start. The catches are comparable, but the yards are down.
Okay. I think other teams could talk about this. Dallas could talk about this. They like to make waves, and they have one good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's great, but they would become a team with like two massive contract wide receivers if they were to do it. The Steelers.
They're a contender, right?
You bet they think they are. Do you trade for Devontae Adams when your quarterback is Justin Fields? The Ravens? They're an actual contender.
Yes.
And their wide receiver list doesn't go too long.
No, it doesn't.
They beat the Bills throwing like four passes to receivers on Sunday night. So I think they kind of make sense, though.
I wanna like this idea, but I just don't.
Bills.
Yeah, I just don't. The age and the money, that's really it. Where is the cliff? Are you buying the cliff? I mean, he had 103 catches last year. The yards were down, you know, somewhat dramatically. I mean, 400 yards less than the year before. Same number of games. Targets were close to the same. I don't know. Like, I'd be worried on buying a 32-year-old receiver with $88 million in cap hits the next 2 years after this one. Like, even if I could find my way to dealing with the cap hit right now and pay whatever price I'm paying, I think that cap hit is going to mitigate how well the Raiders are going to do in this trade. So I wouldn't expect the asset cost to be too much. I don't know, man. The money and the age. I'm scared. I'd be. He's already got a hamstring injury, right?
Well, we maybe.
Yeah. I don't want to be two-faced about that. I was, you know, implying or flat out saying I don't think he's really hurt. So I'm not going to hide behind the injury. I don't like the age and the money. Period. I would love to get excited about this, because of the caliber of player this guy has been throughout his career and what the Bills' receiving room looks like. I mean, when you say him on the field instead of Mac Hollins, I mean, holy cow. That's like, it feels like a 150% improvement. And I know how that sounds towards Hollins, but I mean.
And they love him, right?
Right. So
he blocks.
I can't imagine that. And I don't like it. I don't like the money. I don't like the age. I'm scared.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Ross Tucker coming up just after 5. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. If you missed it, Von Miller suspended 4 games. Violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy. So we won't see him again until week 9 at the earliest. 803-0550 to join us. Ross Tucker coming up in about 10 minutes. And we'll look for your calls as well after that, including now we get time for one, I think. Tom is with us, I think. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Hey, I just wanted to say about the Devontae Adams trade. It just feels like it'd be a win-now move, and it doesn't seem like that's the kind of move Green and Bean has made all offseason. So I don't know why you'd start now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think the reason he would start now is because, you know, the target changed. You know, like things changed. He, you know, your season has started. You've got to look at your receiver room. And Devontae Adams wants to be traded. Like that, and the Raiders now might be eager to do that. Whereas, you know, back in July or August, they maybe weren't. I don't know how smart that was of them. Maybe they could have cleaned up doing this at the draft, even the Raiders, but they didn't. So we're here now.
He makes this trade, and I mean, if he were on Twitter, it's just the shrug emoji. Hey, what am I supposed to do? Like, this is a guy. We meant everything we said about spreading the ball around, but hey. So there's no rules about it. I mean, no. This was not the kind of thing they've been doing this year. But like you said, whether it's specific to the player or there's something about how it's going that the Bills want to adjust, this would be a massive adjustment, then you should, if you're them, you should be willing to move. You know, I think that's really the dilemma for me is what does it say about everything that they've preached all year if they were to go do that? At the same time, I think it's sort of a weird outcome. It would be because why would they contradict themselves? But also, he's great, and they could use him. And so, you know, I go back and forth on it. Ross Tucker next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.